Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And very interesting story I was just reading about a very successful billionaire here in the United States of America who not only made billions of dollars, but he gave pretty much all of it away. And he lived an extremely frugal monk life, like, even though he made billions of dollars. His name is Chuck Feeney, and he was the co-founder of retail giant duty-free shops and duty-free shoppers. You used to see those in airports. And that's where people thought they were getting a really good deal because, hey, I'm not paying duty because duty-free is in the title. And if you've ever gone to the Caribbean or if you've ever gone someplace and you go into the airport, you see duty-free shops everywhere. And people spend lots of money there because they think they're getting a better deal there than they would get if they were buying that item someplace else because it's duty-free. They're paying no duty.
I see. All right.
Well, this guy's name, Charles Chuck Feeney, 89 years old. He co-founded the airport retailer Duty Free Shoppers with another guy back in 1960. He amassed billions of dollars while living a life of monk-like frugality. As a philanthropist, I mean, he literally gave away $8 billion, Coleman. I mean, he made the money, and he actually lived in a small apartment in San Francisco that looked like a freshman in college's dormitory room. He was always very frugal and didn't believe in spending money, didn't believe in wasting money, and he was worth billions.
Where did he give the money to?
Universities, colleges, foundations worldwide through his foundation, which was called Atlantic Philanthropies.
Philanthropist.
Yeah. He said, I mean, after making billions and billions of dollars, he was just going to set aside $2 million for his wife's retirement.
Yeah, that was nice of him.
But imagine that. You know, most people that are, I mean, he literally gave away $8 billion.
Now, how would you feel? Let's say you're the wife, right? You had to marry this guy. You had to do sex with this guy. He has $8 billion to give away to other people, but you only get $2 million? I think she got the short end of the stick right there.
Although, if she was married to him for all of these years and they got along, she probably knew what kind of a guy he was.
Yeah, maybe.
And so she's probably thinking, this small one-bedroom apartment here in San Francisco that resembles a freshman in college's dormitory room, this will have to do.
Why couldn't I run into this guy? See, I should have told him about Pencils for Poor People since it's been philanthropic and all, giving away money.
Yeah, Pencils for Poor People, that's the shady nonprofit organization of the John Osterlin Show. A few years back here in New Orleans, we saw so many people, politicians and such, relatives of politicians, getting in trouble because they had shady nonprofit organizations. Like the Jefferson family, the Jefferson sisters. We all remember the congressman, Dollar Bill Jefferson from New Orleans. I mean, here's a guy, he grew up poor, but he was smart. He got into Harvard.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Spears, pump the car, we're going to Harvard. We're going out to lunch, and then we're going to play polo. But then after that, he got into the United States Congress, and then you remember Bill Jefferson, he got caught taking a bribe. And the cash that he took, he put in his freezer, and the bills were all marked, and he got in trouble because all that cash was in his freezer. Then he got arrested for that, convicted, and then he went to prison. And he had a couple of sisters here in New Orleans, Brenda Jefferson and Betty Jefferson, and they had nonprofits. And they said, hey, and for years they had them. And they said, hey, if you donate to our nonprofits, we're taking the money you donate and we're paying for poor children here in New Orleans, poor black children. This money is all going to poor black children to help them in life. But unfortunately, the money didn't go there. They ended up buying all kinds of property, cars, clothes, and they got caught and they got in trouble too. So many people I noticed here around New Orleans had shady nonprofit organizations that we decided to start our own shady nonprofit. But the difference between mine and theirs was, I'm telling you, mine was shady. And we called it Pencils for Poor People because we figured if more poor people had pencils, there wouldn't be as many poor people.
Yeah, I think we spend most of our donation money getting shirts made for the foundation and actually giving out pencils to the poor people. We gave out a few pencils. But other than
we
really just went out and made shirts that said Pencils for Poor People.
And
we could have used some of that $8 billion, though.
Yeah, and I remember we showed up at a few different restaurants and bars, and people came out and they donated. They were sticking dollar bills in my pocket, and they were giving me pencils, sticking pencils in my pocket, some with erasers, some without. Well, anyways, I just thought this story was something else. Here's a guy. He made billions, over $8 billion he gave away. Chuck Feeney. He was the co-founder of Duty Free Shoppers. And he just gave away most of his money, and he lived most of his life. He never really went out and bought all kinds of stuff. I mean, most people, when they make that kind of money, they're gonna go spend. Not him.
Right. You went to Vegas a few times. What's the most money you've ever just blown, that just got rid of, like at one time?
I see. I had a couple of rough nights at the blackjack table.
Wasn't close to $8 billion, though, was
no.
it?
No. No, I'd say maybe a couple of thousand, maybe a few thousand, but $8 billion? And they said the guy can't be happier.
To each his own.
Yeah. But it just goes to show you that, boy, it takes all different types.
And he was one of those, like, Chadwick Boseman and Denzel Washington. He didn't really brag about none of his giving away money.
No, yeah, he didn't. No, I mean, have you ever even heard of Chuck Feeney until this morning?
Nope. Never.
Well, there he is. The billionaire who wanted to die broke, and he's now officially broke, and he's ready to die.
That's the American dream.
Giving away over $8 billion. Good for you, Chuck Feeney. All right, we have a lot to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And Hurricane Sally is making landfall right about now on the Alabama-Mississippi border. And boy, it is not only a massive, it's a Category 1 right now. Not only is it massive, but it is just hardly moving. It's only moving at 1 or 2 miles an hour. And we really did get lucky here in New Orleans that this thing turned east on us, because here in the city of New Orleans, as you know, even on a rainy day, it doesn't even have to rain that heavy, parts of the city flood. I couldn't imagine a massive storm like Sally moving at 1 mile an hour or 2 miles an hour, just basically hanging over the city of New Orleans for hours. We would have been in trouble. So we're thinking about our friends and our neighbors over there on the in Alabama and Mississippi as the thing is just hitting landfall now. It was a day off yesterday for all of the schools in the New Orleans area. A lot of people didn't go to work yesterday. They had just a regular day off.
I wasn't one of those people.
Yeah, well, and something else too that. When you're near a hurricane and it's right before a hurricane, how cool it gets, the weather. I mean, you were commenting on it yesterday, Coleman. First time in a while you were able to drive around with your windows down.
Yeah, you know, I get to the studio early in the morning, and it was around 3:30, 4 o'clock. I was on my way here. First drive I ever had from my house to the studio with the windows down the entire time, like over the bridge and everything. The wind just felt so good.
And you could thank Hurricane Sally for that. Yeah. This is going to make many people's lives a living hell. But when you're just outside of the hurricane cone and it's right before the hurricane, boy, it cools things off really nice. That's what it takes. That's what it takes. Get some real comfortable weather. So LSU head coach Ed Orgeron is making some news. Yes, I'm so excited for college football season. And what's interesting is, you know, because of coronavirus, the Big Ten in the Pac-12, two of the Power Five college football conferences, they said no football this fall. We'll try and play in the spring. And I said that made no sense, because now you're gonna play two football seasons in the same calendar year. I think it's safer to play during the coronavirus. And now it looks like there's gonna be an announcement soon from the Big Ten saying that they're gonna start playing football pretty soon. And I don't know if the Pac-12 is going to do the same. But the Big Ten, they've gotten so much heat and pressure, Coleman, from not only their own players and fans, but the parents of their players. And why they're watching college football these last 2 weekends. They're like, why are all these kids able to play, but my kids aren't able to play?
Good question.
Why is that? So expect an announcement to come from the Big Ten any day now, saying that they're going to have a shortened season, but they're going to start playing this fall, maybe a little bit later this fall. And we'll see. We're knocking on wood with all of this, because hopefully, we don't hear both from college football and the NFL, now that that just started this past weekend, hopefully we don't hear of any breakouts, coronavirus, COVID-19 breakouts on any of these teams, because there will be some games canceled or missed or whatever the case may be. We don't know. We're flying by the seat of our pants here. But speaking of that, LSU head coach Ed Orgeron yesterday spoke with the media, and I guess coronavirus came up, and he said something that surprised many people in the media.
Not all of our players, but most of our players have caught it. So I think that hopefully they don't catch it again, and hopefully they're out for games, you know. It's been a process, you know, and I'm not going to say all of them, but you know, some players have caught it, and I don't know the percentage, but hopefully that once you catch it, you don't get it again. Now, I'm not a doctor, you know what I'm saying? I think they got that 90-day window, so most of the players that have caught it, we feel that they're going to be eligible for games. So we look at the players that have caught it, and we say, okay, this guy should be eligible for game. We look at the players that haven't caught it. We talk to them about being very, very careful, so they're eligible for games. But we know that the players that haven't caught it, we have to have some backups in their position ready in case they catch it.
Did you catch any of that?
Well, the only thing I caught is most of our players had coronavirus.
I was trying to
not all of them, but most of our players had coronavirus. And he said he's not a doctor. That'd be cool to have a doctor that talked like that.
No, it wouldn't. I wouldn't know what was wrong with it.
Breathe real deep over here. I want you to cough 3 or 4 times. Hang on, pull your pants down.
I feel sorry for the sign language person that has to sit on the side of him and try to make out what's like garble. Blah, 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 blah.
But evidently, Coleman, that's news because I didn't know that most of the LSU football team, the Tigers, I didn't know most of them already had coronavirus.
But that's the thing about the coronavirus. I wouldn't be surprised if the majority of the world's population had it and nobody knowed or cared about it because they either didn't get tested, they didn't have any symptoms, they were asymptomatic. And the way he's talking, he's not even concerned about the people that caught it. He's like, yeah, we just got to find, if they do catch it, we just got to find other players to take their spots. Like, no health concern at all. It's all about who are we going to get to play the game.
No, he doesn't have a health concern because 99% of the people that get it recover from it. So, but we've been saying on this show for the entire time during the last 6-7 months of this coronavirus situation in America, I've said several times that whatever the number is of Americans they say have coronavirus, multiply it by either 5 or 10.
I agree.
Because I think there are so many people that had it. You know, were sick for 2 or 3 days, 3 or 4 days, recovered, and then got back on with their lives.
Yeah, and then I'm quite sure they had people that had it, but they didn't get checked. They didn't want to get tested because they seen what happened to other people when they got tested, whether they had to put ankle monitors on or sign forms to say they'll stay home or having to stay home with masks on and they have roommates. They're like, I don't want to deal with none of that trouble, so I'd rather not get tested and just roll with it and see what happens.
So did that surprise you if you're listening right now that most of the LSU Tiger football team has had coronavirus and didn't even make any news? Well, they're not playing. There's, you know, once the season started, all of a sudden, if they started testing positive for it, then it would be headlines everywhere. But because they haven't played football yet, the fact that most of the LSU Tiger football team, the defending national champion LSU Tiger football team, has had coronavirus, and they're still out there running around practicing and playing. I mean, is that even news?
Dude, they're going to have an asterisk behind this season no matter who wins the quote-unquote championship this year because there's so many variables.
Well, I think the asterisk will be because most teams are only playing a 10-game schedule. Yeah. There's a couple of games short. So there's probably going to be an asterisk. I think there's going to be an asterisk next to the year 2020, period. You know, you could take sports and put them on the back burner. I think 2020 is going to have an asterisk next to it, just the year in general.
Now, you've seen when they see people on the sidelines not wearing a mask during the broadcast, they're going to try to find them or discipline them some sort of way, shape, or form. The NFL wasn't happy with some of the games. They were looking at people in the sidelines. And people like some of the coaches and referees and sideline coordinators didn't have masks.
Yeah.
So now the NFL is like, hey, you need to wear your mask. But what's weird about that is you're not even allowed to be in the stadium if you are positive. They check everybody, all the players, all the coaches.
Yeah.
They test them before they come in. So they are all negative. But even though everyone in the building that you see on TV has tested negative, they still have to wear the mask and social distance as if somebody was positive or they get fined or disciplined.
You see what they're doing in Indonesia? If they catch you without wearing a mask, they literally give you a shovel and say, you have to go dig the graves for people who died of coronavirus. Yeah, in Indonesia, if they see you walking around without a mask, they throw you a shovel and they say, come on, come on, let's go, we're digging a grave.
I don't know. You think they're just digging graves for random people and just lying to them that this person died of COVID. It could have been somebody who died of a car accident. You just dig the grave for them and they're going to tell you, yeah, even though they died in a car accident, he had COVID. So there you go.
Can you imagine if they did that in the United States? You're not wearing a mask? Grab a shovel.
That's what they might need to do to New Orleans. You go around shooting people, you might have to dig the graves of your victim. That would be horrible.
Mm. So if you're listening right now, does that surprise you? Does that concern you that basically the entire LSU football team has had coronavirus, but Ed Orgeron didn't say anything about it because they're not playing? It's not making any news, right? You can text us. Let us know your thoughts about that at 504-260-9595. Please do not text while you're driving. And if your text is good, keep it short and sweet. We'll read it coming up on the show. And put either your first name or your initials at the end of your text if you want a little bit of a text recognition. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. The Nation of Israel was in the news yesterday. Their leader, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, was at the White House. He was in Washington, D.C. By the way, did you know that Benjamin Netanyahu's favorite drink is Yoo-hoo? Netanyahu loves Yoo-hoo. I love Yoo-hoo. So I got that in common with BB. But anyways, the reason why Netanyahu was at the White House yesterday is because President Trump announced deals between Israel and a couple of their neighbors over there, the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain. So Israel made a deal with both of those nations, which is a big deal. And by the way, I mean, Israel in the Middle East over there, none of their neighbors like them. That'd be like, you know, the gangs, the Bloods and the Crips. Mm-hmm. That'd be like if a Blood lived in the middle of a Crip neighborhood. That's what it's like for Israel being over there in the Middle East. Nobody around them likes them. So it was a big deal. Where yesterday, a couple of deals were made between Israel and, again, the United Arab Emirates, and another deal made with Israel and Bahrain. The big one still hasn't happened yet, and that's Palestine. That's going to be the one we're all waiting for. They're fighting over a little piece of real estate they've been fighting over for a long time. But that would be some deal if Israel makes a deal with Palestine. But great news yesterday and America, we're friends. Well, some of Americans are friends with Israel, and we have to be their friend. They're the only democracy in that godforsaken part of the planet. Well, anyways, according to a new survey, 75% of Americans can't find Israel on a map. And 77% of Americans can't even find a map. When was the last time you used a map?
Couldn't tell you.
You're on a Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station.
I apologize to the Jews.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. I was reading a story about a woman who smuggled her boyfriend out of prison in a dog crate.
Say what?
I said I was reading a story about a woman who smuggled her boyfriend out of prison in a dog crate, Coleman.
Well, they say all men are dogs, maybe.
And she was married, too.
Oh, wait. A woman that was married to somebody else snuck into prison to sneak her other man out?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Now it's getting interesting.
It was a wild, wild story. And her name, Toby Dore. She never ran a red light. She never rolled through a stop sign. She never even got a speeding ticket. She was always the teacher's pet as a child in school. She always got straight A's. Her parents never even had to give her a curfew because she never stayed out late. She married the only boy she'd ever dated, Coleman. She raised a family, built a career. She went to church regularly. She did everything she was supposed to do. She also, like I said when we started talking about this, she smuggled her boyfriend out of prison in a dog crate. She's in her 60s now. She's in her early 60s now, just over 5 feet tall, Auburn curls. She could be your next door neighbor. As a matter of fact, she's been confused for the town's librarian. I mean, this is how nice and pretty much perfect this woman is. But the people in Kansas City, Missouri, remember her story. People stare at her there in restaurants. People point at her as she's walking down the street on a sidewalk. For more than a decade, people have argued about whether what she did was stupid, selfish, or brave, or inspirational. In the newspapers there, she was known as the Dog Lady. The Dog Lady of Lansing Prison. And it's because she snuck her boyfriend, smuggled her boyfriend out of prison in a dog crate. And it's a good story. And
so how does the husband feel about all this?
Well, she wasn't too happy about it. But I was just, I basically told you the whole gist of the story. I mean, do you want details? I mean, she went.
Yeah, if she was married and lived this perfect life and got married, where did she even meet the other boyfriend from? You know, that like, that's the kind of details. What did this boyfriend do to get into this would-be librarian, straight-A student who never went out late? Like, did they meet at a Sonic or something like that, a drive-in movie theater? Did they meet at a restaurant? Like, what did this boyfriend do to make her feel like, you know what, I have to go into this jail where he got arrested and smuggle him out in a dog crate of all things?
Well, she met him doing good work, doing charity work. They were doing charity work together, Coleman. They were helping sick animals together, and their eyes met, and then.
I'm guessing his little charity was a shady organization, a shady nonprofit. That's probably why he got landed in the slam in the first place. But that explains where she got the dog crate from, that they're helping out animals.
I don't have time right now to give the whole story. Maybe another time we'll give the whole story. But if you want to know the whole story, her name is Toby Dorr, TobyDorr. You can Google her. Go look it up. Go read. But I just thought that was fascinating how this perfect woman, her whole life, ever since she was a little child, ended up smuggling her boyfriend out of prison in a dog crate.
That's because the boyfriend had
penis.
No.
That'll change a woman's life.
Hey, coming up on the show, there are many Southern Baptists that are dropping the Southern from their name because they're saying it's racist, or at least it's racial. Can you believe that?
No.
We're gonna tell you more about that coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. I'm going to finish the story I just told.
Okay.
I was telling the story of this woman, Toby Dorr, who lived basically the perfect life, the way you're supposed to live it. When she was a child, she was a straight-A student. Her parents never had to give her a curfew because she never stayed out late. Her boyfriend in high school was the only boy she was ever with. They got married. They had a bunch of kids, and they were living the American dream. And then when she was 47 years old, she had a lump on the back of her neck. She got it checked out, and it was a treatable form of thyroid cancer. But she realized, boy, she was 47 years old when that happened. Boy, there's more I can do to help out in this world. So she started rescuing dogs, all kinds of dogs, Coleman. And then she started taking some of those dogs to the prison in Kansas where she lived. And prisoners who had good behavior, they had this new program where they let them have some dogs in the prison, spend some time with dogs. And she was the one who brought the dogs in to help these prisoners who haven't had any contact with anybody or anything in years to have some contact with dogs. It helped the dogs and it helped the prisoners. Well, she realized while she was doing this, her husband of all these years back home was ignoring her. He was playing golf all the time with his friends. So she actually learned how to play golf. And she said to him, I learned how to play so we can go play together. And he said, no, I've only played with my friends. Well, basically, he was ignoring her. Meanwhile, at the prison, one of the younger prison inmates started getting close with her because he appreciated her bringing the dogs in.
Okay.
And so, you know, they just got talking one day, and she told them that story that I just told you about the golf and how her husband doesn't want to spend any time with her. And the prisoner said, you know, a woman like you, you should be the center of his world. He should be doing everything for you. And so for the first time in her life, she's hearing things from a man that she never heard from her husband. And so when she was bringing the dogs in and out one day, when she was bringing the dogs out on the dog cart, she snuck this one particular prisoner out of prison. This perfect woman who did everything perfect in life. She snuck him out of prison. She broke him out of prison. He was on the bottom of the dog cart when she was bringing the dogs out. Got into her car and they took off. And they were on the lam for 2 weeks until they finally got caught. But it was a wild story. I mean, this woman did everything. She was, everybody would want her as a daughter. Everybody would want their son to marry her. She was a perfect person. And then she ended up smuggling a prisoner out of prison on a dog crate. And again, the only reason she was in there is because she started this whole program of fostering dogs, then bringing the dogs that she took off the street that were about to be killed, euthanized, to bring them to prisoners. And so
I feel bad for her. She seemed like a Stepford wife. She seemed like her entire life she had to fight her own natural urges to be the person she felt like everybody wanted her to be. So it kind of makes sense that she needed just a little bit of adventure. Because think about it, straight-A student, never got out, never did anything. That sounds lame. I'm sorry. I know in the morality world, she's the perfect woman. But to me, it's like there's no sense of adventure. We're like, I feel bad for her. She seems very repressed.
Well, you know? She only had one large sense of adventure for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
when she helped this prisoner escape, and they were on the lam for 2 weeks, and then they got caught, but that was the story of Toby Doerr, and it just goes. I mean, she lived the absolute perfect life, and then here she is later in life, helping a man break out of prison. She's smuggling a man out of prison on a dog cart.
See, it seems perfect to you and I, but I think I just have the sense that she was miserable the entire time.
But she didn't know it. Yeah. Until that one prisoner started saying all those nice things to her, and she realized, wait a minute, I've never heard this before. My husband has never talked to me like this. And the next thing you know, she's smuggling him out of prison. She never did anything wrong in her life. Never did anything wrong. Never got a speeding ticket. Never got a parking ticket.
Man, that sounds horrible. Get a speeding ticket. Live a little, people. Just live a little. I'm not saying go out and cause mass violence and hysteria and vandalism, but every now and then, take a snicker. Why not?
Just some story. Hey, I was just reading also how there are prominent Southern Baptists that are now dropping Southern off of the name. They're just calling themselves Baptist because of the racial overtone.
The racial overtone of what?
The word Southern.
Wait, directions have a racial overtone now?
Prominent Southern Baptists are dropping Southern from the name amid racial unrest. Leaders in the Southern Baptist Convention are increasingly dropping the Southern part of their Baptist name, calling it a potentially painful reminder of the convention's historic role in supporting of slavery. So I guess back in the day, the Southern Baptist Convention was a part of slavery.
Oh, did they just happen to be Southern? In the whole Confederate thing just happened to be South, like the direction. I don't see how a direction, latitude, longitude, north, south, east, west, I don't see how those can be racist. Those are just pointing a direction. What kind of Baptist are you? A Southern kind, like from the South. You know, like.
Well, this is following the stories we've been talking about, how the word Dixie has been dropped. There used to be Dixie Beer here in New Orleans. They don't know what their new name's going to be yet, but it's not going to be Dixie anymore. That musical group, the Dixie Chicks, they're now just the Chicks. They're not Dixie Chicks anymore. So we're seeing this more and more, and now Southern Baptists, many of them are dropping the Southern from their name. They're just saying, hey, I'm a Baptist.
So what, are there not going to be any more, like, there's not going to be South Carolina anymore? There's not going to be, like, South Dakota?
You never know.
That's dumb. That is dumb.
You know, I've always said I'm Catholic. I'm not perfect, but I was raised Catholic. I'm still Catholic. I practice it a lot. I mean, I haven't, you know, practice makes perfect, right? I mean, you try, I guess you could call me a practicing Catholic. I do the best I can. But I've always said, and I'll say it again one more time here in case you never heard this before, only for a couple of weeks, maybe a month, I was going to switch from Catholicism and become a Baptist just so I could call myself John the Baptist.
Ah.
Because you could say, hey, that's John over there. That's right. I'm John. I'm a Baptist. I'm John the Baptist.
That's a good motivator, though.
John the Baptist. But then I would see how that was for a couple of weeks. Because I'd probably go back to being a Catholic. I don't know if there are huge differences between being a Catholic and being a Baptist. I know being a Catholic, I think there's a lot more rules.
Yeah.
There's a lot more tricky rules in being a Catholic than there are in being a Baptist, I think.
I don't think a Baptist has a pope or anything either. There's no archdiocese. There's no, like, system. It's just they're just there. Like, there's a pastor, and that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the rules, I think it's a lot tougher being a Catholic than it is being a Baptist.
So what's Northern Baptist? What's their deal, you know?
I've never heard of a Northern Baptist. I've only heard of a Southern Baptist.
So now that we're, so what's going to differentiate the regular Baptist from the Southern Baptist? Is it all just going to be regular Baptists now?
That's a great question. So, I mean, if you're listening right now, what do you think of prominent Southern Baptists dropping Southern from their name amid all of this racial unrest? Do you think that's ridiculous? I mean, I think it's crazy. But they don't want to be, and I guess the Southern Baptists and the Southern Baptist Convention, they have a history with slavery.
You think so? Because, I mean, I don't think Southern Baptist churches had slaves. They were due to the word of God, right? They wouldn't go out and practice segregation. I'm not sure.
I know is that the reason why a lot of these Southern Baptists are dropping the Southern from their name, Coleman, is they're saying it's a painful reminder of the convention's historic role in support of slavery.
Oh, okay.
The Southern Baptist Convention supported slavery.
All right.
But still, I mean,
I guess changing the name is going to change history then.
If you're listening, text us. What do you think about these prominent Southern Baptists dropping the Southern from their name? Now they're just Baptists amid the racial unrest. I mean, where does it end? When it comes to Dixie, when it comes to, now it's the word Southern. You can text us at 504-260-9595. Please don't text while you're driving. Keep it short and sweet. If it's good, we'll read it on the show coming up. I think this is ridiculous. And I don't think there's any doubt. If you're Christian, are you Catholic like me? Isn't it tougher being a Catholic than pretty much any other type of Christian, including Baptist? Don't we have more rules that are really tough? Tricky rules as Catholics and then the Baptists have. Text us 260-9595 here on Bayou 95.7 New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7 New Orleans only classic rock station. If you're just joining us, we were talking about how a bunch of Southern Baptists at the Southern Baptist Convention are dropping the Southern part of their name. They're just calling themselves Baptists because of the painful reminder of the Southern Baptist Convention's historic role in support of slavery. So now Southern Baptists, some of them, are dropping the Southern from their name. Much like the name Dixie has gone out the rearview window And now he's even the term Southern. The Baptists are saying see you later. I think that's kind of nuts. I asked you to text us. What do you think about this?
Mark in Metairie says, so I suppose if a woman calls me a Southern gentleman, that makes me a racist, right? You ever heard that term, like Southern Belle, and, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, so, well, are we just supposed to call her a Belle now? It's a nice young lady with the umbrella. Instead of calling her a Southern Belle, we just call her a Belle.
If this trend keeps up.
The South was born and raised on the Confederacy. Like it or not, it is a part of our history, and you can't just erase it. If the South bothers you that much, then move somewhere else. I swear, it's anything that gets some kind of controversy going.
But you know what's interesting? The people that are really passionate about the Confederacy, the people that are really passionate about the Confederate flag, you know, those people would be upset if any other country tried to fight a war against our country right now.
Of course.
But that's exactly what the people who were under that flag did to the United States of America. They started a war with the United States of America, with the North.
They would say that the United States started a war with them for trying to take away their rights. See?
No, it kind of depends on how you...
This text says, I was raised Southern Baptist, and there were never sermons about slavery, but there were certain sermons from a pastor at one church that this person attended that said that interracial marriages were a sin. And ever since, even as a child, that was the defining moment when they realized that religion was not for them.
Interesting. And again, we wondered, why do we only hear of Southern Baptists? I've never heard of a Northern Baptist or a Western Baptist or an Eastern Baptist.
Well, this texter says there are two types of Baptists. There's First Baptist and Southern Baptist. That's the two types of Baptists. So I guess they could have been called First and Second Baptist then, right? If they can't do the Southern Baptist.
I still want to be John the Baptist for a week or two. I got to call my Catholic priest and see, can I just switch over for a couple of weeks just so I can say I'm John the Baptist for a couple of weeks, and then I'll go back to being a Catholic?
Why not? What if you like being a Baptist so much you just remain a Baptist? What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
I mean, a lot of less rules.
Yeah, I know the Catholics have a lot of tough rules. But thank you for your text. We appreciate it here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's John Osterlund here with you. Hey, you see who died? The coroner of Orleans Parish for 40 years, Dr. Frank Minyard. He just died yesterday at the age of 91. Could you imagine being the coroner of New Orleans for 40 years with all the dead bodies, people getting shot all the time?
I'm not going to say it's an easy gig, but... You've seen one, you've seen them all, right?
For a while, he got so busy, Coleman, that they actually installed a drive-through and a drive-through window at his coroner's office where people would just be able to drive through, just like you're getting a combo meal. Dr. Frank Minyard was also known as Dr. Jazz because he played trumpet.
All right.
Be cool. I know when I die, I wish my coroner would play the trumpet. That'd be pretty cool. But this guy, for 40 years, was the coroner of Orleans Parish, the coroner of New Orleans. And there were times where that job was very controversial. And you do know that the coroner is an elected official.
And I never understood why that is.
You know, I'm passionate when it comes to voting for coroners. I know some people look at, we got an election coming up in November. We got an election coming up. The president, voting for that is sexy. You know, sure, voting for the president. Voting for senators and governors, very sexy. Even voting for congressmen, sexy. I always thought voting for the coroner was sexy.
I don't even understand why it's an elected position. You think any doctor with a good resume to understand some sort of anatomy could just fill out an application and be a private coroner?
Let me tell you something. Here's why they vote for it. Because it could be a crooked position. Because when people die, you know, there's money at stake. So anybody could call the coroner. Hey, I'll give you a few bucks over here. Just say he died this way or she died this way.
But that's an incentive to be a government position. Who's more corrupt than the government? You will want a private coroner that has no stake in the game to be the one to say, all right, they died of a heart attack or they died from a knife wound or it was Colonel Mustard with a pipe. Whatever, if I feel more confident knowing it's a private position than an elected position.
Well, it's interesting. Dr. Frank Minyard said, quote, don't call me a politician. I don't think I'm a politician. He said that on the PBS television show Frontline 10 years ago. He said, I'm more of a community servant. I look upon myself as someone who loves his community, and I serve it the best way with the gifts that God has given me, and this job as coroner is part of that. Yeah, I always used to get involved in the coroner election. You know, I know the other elections, they get more ink, they get more publicity, but I used to, every time, and we got another one coming up, a coroner election is coming up, I'm going to be out there banging on the doors. Hey, do you know who your coroner is? Do you really know who your coroner is? Most people don't know who their coroner is until it's too late. They don't deal with their coroner.
Imagine being a loser and you have to concede to the other guy who has to look at dead bodies. See, I wasn't good enough. They voted for this guy to look at the dead bodies because my resume didn't stack up to their liking.
Yeah, my political career is as dead as the bodies that I wanted to look at. Jeez. But Dr. Minyard is one of those guys, though, that everybody I've seen commenting about and everybody who I've ever heard talk about him, I have never heard a bad word about him. And that's saying something. I know when everybody dies, we're all angels, right? The people are angels when they die. Everybody is. But in this case, when the 40-year coroner of New Orleans, of Orleans Parish, died, I haven't seen a bad word said or written about him. Everybody says this guy was such a good guy, such a cool guy. Again, how many coroners are accomplished trumpet players? Dr. Jazz. That's what happens when you're the coroner in New Orleans for 40 years. So anyways, he made it to 91. I hope we can all make it to 91. I wonder who's going to be his coroner.
You have to vote, right?
No, I wonder if he's going to, well, if he died here, then, yeah, the current Orleans Parish coroner is going to tell. And I'm sure, he didn't die rock climbing or something like that.
Yeah, he didn't die from a bullet wound like almost everybody had to look after.
I'm sure it'll probably be easy being the coroner on his case. He's 91, you know. I can kind of figure it out here. But Dr. Frank Minyard, and I'm not glad he died, but I'm glad this story came up because it just reminded me after the show, I got to get my flyers out for the upcoming coroner's race. Again, everybody's talking about, oh, yeah, we got an important presidential race coming up. You know how important this coroner's race is coming up here in New Orleans? I got to start knocking on doors and kissing babies and shaking hands if I want my coroner to win. Anyways, Dr. Frank Minyard, 40 years, coroner of Orleans Parish, dead. At the age of 91, here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Motley Crue there. Last week, I talked to Nikki Sixx of Motley Crue. And if you want to hear that interview, it's on our website at bayou957.com. There's a lot of very entertaining stuff on our website at bayou957.com. Go check it out. Spends a little time over there. We work hard on it for you. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And I just read about how much different the United States of America is in the year 2020 compared to how it was 70 years ago. That's not that long ago, in 1950. And after reading this, I now understand why there are so many older people, older Americans, who are so angry, who are just really pissed off about a lot of things. And when you see the differences between America and 1950, just 70 years ago compared to the America today in 2020, it's incredible. For instance, in 1950, people were just getting televisions. Everybody was just getting televisions in their houses. And there were only three networks and maybe a public television outlet. You only had three or four television channels. And in 1950, if you turned on the television, you would never, ever even see a married husband and wife in the same bed together. It was illegal. It was against the laws of the of American broadcasting. They couldn't even show the wife in bed together. Meanwhile, you fast forward now, Netflix has a show out now called Cuties, and it's sexualizing very underage girls. There are a lot of people, as a matter of fact, that are canceling their Netflix subscription.
I can't blame them for that one.
Because of this show.
Yeah, that Cuties trailer is kind of creepy.
That Cuties thing is very creepy. And I'm surprised how many people think it's a quality television show. No, that is sex. That is the sexualization of 11, 12-year-old girls. And, Netflix has taken all kinds of crap for that. By the way, a lot of the people that are upset about that television show, they didn't have a problem with that Toddlers and Tiaras show. You know, that show with the very, very younger girls than that, that do beauty pageants, that's big in the South. It's funny, I saw some of the, some people, some women I know, that are all offended by the TV show Cuties, which is fine, they should, because that show's horrific. But those same women loved the show Toddlers and Tiaras.
They would say that Toddlers and Tiaras wasn't sexualizing. It was just a beauty pageant. It was more like talent competitions and stuff. It wasn't twerking and all that kind of stuff.
No, but putting all that makeup on their face and making them look older and putting them in little skimpy dresses and things like that. You know, the same kind of pervert that would enjoy the show Cuties would maybe enjoy that show for different reasons than the mothers and the women enjoy that show for, obviously. But again, I mean, there are so many differences between 1950 America and 2020 America. Okay, put the television aside. How about something like divorce and children born into a single parent household? That hardly ever, ever happened in 1950 America. And if it did, no one ever talked about it. They would only whisper, she's getting a divorce. I mean, now people getting divorced is more prominent. Those statistics are higher.
Yeah.
Than people getting married.
Dude, there are billboards out for divorces now. There's like a bus stop bench with, hey, you're getting a divorce for $100. Call me.
For some, a divorce is an industry.
Yeah.
But it was never even, not only not done in 1950 America, if it was done, no one ever talked about it. It was, you were supposed to be ashamed and embarrassed about it. And again, if an unmarried woman, young woman, got pregnant in 1950, they would send her away. She would go away someplace to go have the kid and then come back. And then they would say, well, she was on vacation or she was doing something. And then they'd say, oh, yeah, that kid, that's not her kid. That's somebody else's kid.
Well, now we have teen mom television shows.
That's the huge difference between 1950 America and 1970s America. I mean, and those are just a few things. It goes on and on and on and on, the differences between 1950 America. I mean, look, in 1950 America, one income can support an entire middle class household. In 1950 America, Coleman, the father worked, the husband slash father worked, and the mother stayed home, and they raised kids, and one paycheck could pay for everything. Look at now, today.
I would have to say, I'm looking at all the differences. I'm looking at the list now between everything that's going on in 1950 and 1920. And they're just differences. I can't, like, it depends on what type of life you live. I can't say 1950 was better than 1920. Some of that stuff seems very oppressive. Like, having to hide the fact that you got a divorce and having to, that seems very repressive instead of now where it's like, there's no shame. I'm looking at this People of Walmart one. It says 1950s people would make an effort to get dressed up and look nice when they go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and but now we hit, like, I'd rather now where I could just go to Walmart with some jeans and a t-shirt than having to go dress up in public. I think 2020 is more liberating.
Yeah, you look at pictures of, and you can go find these very easily anywhere. Go look at pictures of people walking around New Orleans in 1950 on Canal Street. All the guys, they were wearing jackets and ties. All the women were in dresses and they were wearing gloves, a lot of them. They were all wearing hats. Now you go to Walmart, there are people barely wearing pajamas.
I'm going to have to go with 2020 on this one. I'd rather be comfortable than have to dress up for the public.
You know, in 1950, the greatest national enemy to the United States of America were socialists and communists. Now we have a socialist that should have been running for president in 2016 and in 2020, but Bernie Sanders, the Democratic Party, said, no, we don't want you, pal. Now you look at kids, at least half of them believe in socialism. They think it's great because everybody will have something, but it's not coming from them, so that's why they think it's great. Plus, many of their teachers, they're teaching them that's, and they're, especially in college professors, they're teaching these kids that's the way to go.
Here's two interesting ones. In 1950, 78% of all households in America contained a married couple. In 2020, that figure has fallen to 50%. And in 1950, about 5% of babies in the United States were born to unmarried parents, where now it's 40%.
Yep.
But, like, I get what they're trying to say, like, there was more wholesome, but I can see how that would be more liberating, where you don't have to be married to live in a household. You can shack up, or you can have your place, you can have our place, and still have a decent relationship. Like, we don't have to live in the confines of 1950s moralities anymore. You get what I mean?
Yeah, but Coleman, this was only 70 short years ago.
Right.
This is why so many old people are angry all the time, because their whole world, the whole country has changed, and it all changed a decade and a half after 1950. It all changed in the 1960s.
Yeah.
That's when everything started changing in the 1960s.
But that's the price of liberty. That's the price of liberty. If you want liberties and freedoms and people are should be allowed to live the lives they want to live instead of the confines of the Leave It the Beaver type. I like the Leave It the Beaver type family. That doesn't appeal to me. I don't like that.
How about in 1950, the United States loaned more money to the rest of the world than anybody else? Here, 70 years later in 2020, the United States owes more money to the rest of the world than anybody else.
I have to give 1950 that one. the economically, yeah, 1950 was a whole lot better. But I have an iPhone now, you know what I mean?
But they say in 1950, most Americans were generally happy their lives.
So you
think repressed?
Yeah, I think they had to pretend. Yeah, they had to pretend to be happy for the benefit of the image. I think now most Americans are a lot happier. They don't seem that way because all we see is the people getting angry on social media. But when you think about all the liberties we have now, where you can get a divorce if you wanted to, if you're not already happy in your marriage, there's people that we can drink at bars now openly. There's no prohibition and all that stuff going on. And by the way, no segregation. How about that? I love that one.
But in 1950, kids could walk down the street. People didn't have to lock their doors. You don't see that anymore in 2020.
Well, that's because, I was about to say something about segregation again, but
hey. What do you think? Text us. It was a simpler time, a much, much, much simpler time
in 1950. And a segregated time, too. See, I have to go with that for the win for 2020. 1950 was a lot happier, but as a black man, it was a lot different time. It was a completely different time for people like me back then.
But 70 years isn't that long ago, you know? And look at how drastically everything has changed. And some of it for the better.
Some of it for the better.
But a lot of it for the worse. Text us your thoughts on the difference between 1950 America and 2020 America. 260-9595. Please don't text while you're driving. Keep it short and sweet. If it's good, we'll read it coming up next. Here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. If you're just joining us, we were talking about how much different America is in the year 2020 compared to 70 short years ago in the year 1950. We mentioned how back then, hardly anyone ever got divorced. And if they did, she got divorced. And now more people get divorced than they get married. We talked about how back in 1950, hardly any household had a child in it where the parents weren't married. Now that's the majority. And there are so many other things on television. They couldn't even show a married couple in the same bed right now. And now on Netflix, you've got that disgusting show Cuties that is sexualizing underage girls. And we were just talking about how much of a different world it is. And you could say the 1960s changed everything. And sure, there are things that they didn't have back then in 1950 that they have today that make life better, air conditioning and porn. But you could also say, now you know why so many older Americans walk around and they're so angry. They're so pissed off because the world that they know completely doesn't exist. At least the country doesn't anymore. Well, they're angry about that and the fact that probably a lot of things hurt on their body and other things. So we asked you to text us your thoughts on the huge differences between America and 1950 and 70 short years later, America today.
This Texas says, in the 1950s, they win in having a level of respect with kids. 2020 wins in conveniences. This Texas says, just have more respect back then. They weren't lazy. They were hardworking American. 2020 is lazy trash. Hold on now. This Texas says, today, AC and porn. I agree with that one.
Yeah, there it is. Air conditioning and porn.
Wow, Billy, you just got here. He said I was born in 1995. Dude, and I'd rather have been born back in the Dukes of Hazzard days, my favorite TV show. Those days were awesome. I don't know, Billy. I'm going to have to take Breaking Bad over Dukes of Hazzard.
Hey, we appreciate your text.
They got one more. I'm sorry. I'm sure white America took the survey in the 50s and not to take it to account. There's no way a colored person would agree that the 50s were better. And I have to go with that one on that one. I agree with him. I don't think any colored person back in the 50s would have been like, yeah, 50s, not this 2020 nonsense.
Yeah, because Coleman, you're black, and you brought that up when we were talking about that.
Yeah.
So, but
it's a matter of perspective. I go with 2020 only because I like the ACs and computers, conveniences, the technology, the freedoms that we have.
No, and you like the porn, too.
And the porn, too. Mm-hmm. Being able to go to Walmart with jeans on. Yeah, I like that stuff.
Pajamas. Yeah, people used to dress up no matter where they went out back in 1950. Now people barely get dressed at all to go out. Things have changed a lot, and 70 years isn't that long of a time to do all of that.
Let's see what happens in the next 70 years.
Jeez, it'd be something, huh? Hey, coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. This is the dumbest way to get injured an athlete has ever gotten injured. I can't think of a dumber way. And that's next. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And it's about that time where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Pitcher will miss start after injuring his finger while putting on his pants. Philadelphia Phillies pitcher Zach Wheeler was scratched from his scheduled start over the weekend after a mishap putting on his pants. He was literally injured putting on his pants. He hurt the nail of his right middle finger while getting dressed. And it forced him to miss a start.
He must have was in a rush.
He was getting dressed, Coleman.
Yeah.
He was putting his pants on, and while he was putting his pants on, he hurt the fingernail on his right middle finger.
That's smart.
And when you're a baseball pitcher, you know, if you mess up the nail on your pitching hand, on any of your fingers, that could lead you to miss pitching because you can't pitch the way you normally pitch.
Yeah, we all put on our pants too. One leg at a time, I guess.
Well, hopefully this nail will get better pretty soon. But, you know, one of the most amazing things in sports, to me, are our major league pitchers. How these guys can throw the ball in between 90 and 100 miles an hour. And they could throw it exactly where they want to. They could throw it over the little outside of the home plate that is covered by black. They could hit the black on the corner, right at the knees or at the letters. They can put it wherever they want. I mean, think about it. When you watch these guys throw pitch, when you watch them and they're throwing 95 miles an hour, God did not make our arms to do that. When you think about it. And so any little thing could throw that askew. And that's what happened here. So the starting pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies, who had to miss a start because he was injured while putting on his pants. That's the dumbest thing that I read all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.